97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
Hey, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you're with us this morning. Congratulations to Joanne, who won the TSO tickets. We'll have another pair to give away tomorrow. They are already on sale, though, so you too can get your tickets for the December 18th event there at Enterprise. And go check them out. If you've never seen them, you saw them. Did you see them last year?
Yeah, Kim? They were great.
Wasn't it fantastic?
Yeah.
I've described it before as sort of a rock show. It with a Christmas show in the middle of it, or a Christmas show with a rock show in the middle of it. It's pretty amazing what they do. If you've never seen them, they're such talented musicians, and it's just, I don't know, it's kind of a tradition for some people. So I would hope that you'll get a chance to go out and see that if you haven't otherwise. But anyway, we'll give away another pair of tickets tomorrow. Kim, you and I were talking the other day, and I was traveling for my aunt's 100th birthday, and we were complaining that in hotels, they need to have more than one waffle machine.
Yes.
And I walked into this dreary hotel we were staying at in Middletown, Ohio. J.D. Vance's hometown, by the way. My hometown, basically. Close to it, anyway. And sure enough, there's a line because one of the waffle machine makers was not working.
So they did have multiple.
They had two, and one was not working. So everybody was standing in line, and there was a seven-year-old birthday party going on at the hotel that weekend with 25 little girls who all wanted a waffle. And it was a little bit of a nightmare.
I'm telling you, that waffle maker is a hot commodity at any hotel.
Seriously.
And it's like the line at the grocery store. You know, you're gauging which one is shortest and going to be quickest. As soon as you get in that line, all the other lines move a lot faster. As soon as you decide to go up and get the waffle, it's like 10 more people decide the same
right
thing,
there.
And they're right there before
and
you.
It takes 2 minutes, and if there are 10 people in line, you might as well just grab some of the bad scrambled eggs and
move
on.
Waiting for the beep, 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 beep,
it's
beep, beep,
true.
Beep, 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 beep.
It's true. Yeah. I want to just say hello to my friend Rob, who's in studio with us this morning. He and I grew up together in Ohio many years ago in Monroe, Ohio, and he is in town from the Carolinas. Now, Rob and I both grew up Cincinnati Reds fans.
Absolutely.
This is correct, and you still are, even though you live in the Carolinas. And over the years, I kind of transitioned. Once Barry Larkin left the Reds years ago, I didn't know any more of the players. I've lived in St. Louis for 30 years now, and I adopted the Cardinals back then because I knew the players, and it's easy to root for a team that's as successful as the Cardinals have been over the years. So anyway, Rob's in town to see the game today. We're going to go see the day game and see if the Cardinals can steal one more from the Reds. What do you think?
Let's hope not.
We need every little win we can get, even though our season is effectively over at this point.
The Cardinals won the very first game I went to in Crosley Field. Bob Gibson pitched a 1-0 shutout against the Reds.
Wow.
And future Cincinnati Red Julian Javier hit a home run in Crosley Field.
I didn't realize how old you were.
Yeah, really old.
Crosley Field, man. I don't know if I ever went to a game at Crosley Field.
It was enjoyable.
Yeah, I'll bet it was. That's funny. That's old school. Anyway, glad Rob's here. I haven't seen him. He was in my wedding. He hadn't been in St. Louis in 31 years.
Wow.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, well, 93 was a good year to get married.
It was a good year. Yeah, you too, right? I do remember that. You and your bride, Amy. That's fantastic. All right, we got lots to get to for you. We're going to get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday, coming up here in just a couple of minutes. You know, I talked to her ahead of time because I know I joked that they should have this next debate, if there is one, on Fox, and Shannon should be the moderator. And I know she'd love that, although they'd probably pick Martha McCallum and Brett Baer or whatever if they did it. We'll see what she thinks about the possibility of that happening. Plus, we're going to get to our friend Griff Jenkins. We never know where in the world Griff is, and I don't know where he is this morning, but I love having him on the show, and he's going to join us at 8:35. Right now, let's get to the short list, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
He also said that there were, in his mind, claims that there were stray cats missing and sort of had this idea that maybe Haitians were abusing animals. Of course, city officials have said there's no evidence of that.
The media is still running interference for Kamala Harris and attacking the claim that Springfield, Ohio, has not just disintegrated into a little bit of a hellhole these days. It has, and Trump was right.
It was Haitians in a white van driving around the neighborhoods collecting cats.
For what?
Skinning them and eating them.
Have you seen the memes? Have you seen the memes with the cats riding down the road trying to get the hell out of Springfield? It's funny. That's a TikTok video of some lady claiming what Trump and Vance were talking about, that people's pets are disappearing in Springfield, Ohio.
When a fighter has a bad fight, gets knocked out, or loses the fight, the first thing he says is, we want a rematch. Are we going to do a rematch? I just don't know. But we'll think about it.
Yeah, I just don't know. We're going to think about it. Yeah, here's the deal. I don't know if it's a good idea or in Trump's best interest, but I think he's negotiating in public on this one. I could be wrong.
If that's what the mother and the family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions.
That's the former Virginia governor, Ralph Northam. Remember this guy? Do you remember this story about Ralph Northam?
I don't think so.
There was he was the governor of Virginia. One reason he's no longer the governor of Virginia is probably this comment about abortion. But they also called him Blackface Northam because they found pictures of him in blackface in college. Now, he survived that. But had he been a Republican, he wouldn't have. Like, Democrats can be found with pictures in blackface, and they can survive that political scandal. If a Republican did it 60 years ago when those things happened on college campuses, they couldn't survive that. Ralph Northam did. So he was well known for this picture of him in blackface. But the thing that he did talk about was the exact thing that Kamala Harris denied ever happened, and that ABC ran interference and fact-checked Donald Trump on in the debate, that Democrats support abortion up until the moment of birth. And all you have to do is go back and listen to this interview from Ralph Northam, who is an OB back in 2019, saying he's completely in support of a state law that would allow that. Listen.
So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion.
How evil do you have to be that doctor who goes in and kills the baby?
Well, the key question there, and what he's talking about is a child that was born with, I don't know, some deformity or something like that. You're still talking about resuscitating a child if that's necessary. So assume the child is born with a zero Apgar score and they have to resuscitate it and all that stuff. So the child is then a breathing, living individual. And then they confer with the mother and the family and decide if they don't want it to continue being a living, breathing individual. These are disturbing comments by an OB who sees no problem with the kind of law Missourians are going to be asked to vote on in November. That upon a consultation between a doctor and the patient, the mother in this case, they would be fine with determining that it's okay to end that individual's life after they've been born. And Kamala Harris said that never happens, but we know it happens. And here's a doctor describing a situation where it did happen and explaining what he would do. It's disturbing.
Yeah, I think the people who would be the ones to be aborted, as harsh as that sounds, I would think they'd be the loudest ones standing up screaming from the rooftop. Are you telling me that because of the way I was born, whether it's without a limb or some mental child, that I should have been aborted and killed? Am I not worthy of life?
It's I had to play it again just so people remembered what Northam said out of all of this, because the media is running interference for the Democrats on this 100%. Quick break here. I've got Shannon Bream on the other side. We'll talk about the debate. Stay tuned.
If he was in the White House press room, he'd never be called on. The Mark Cox Morning Show. Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. I'm wondering if you
this business about taking everyone's guns away. Tim Walz and I are both gun owners. We're not taking anybody's guns away. So stop with the continuous lying about this stuff.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Vox News Sunday. Shannon, welcome back. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm still digesting 48 hours after what I listened to in the debate the other night. And I don't know. Now, I come from this from a biased point of view because I'm a conservative. But when I hear Kamala Harris say, I'm not coming after anybody's guns, and then I've got the opposite bite from her from a couple of years ago where she makes it very clear she basically wants mandatory gun buybacks, which is confiscation, those are dramatically different positions. And I don't think the ABC moderators did anything to challenge her on any of these positions.
And she even said, as you know, in one of her answers, I'll take through all these things, these places where my positions appear to have changed, and explain that. And I think, listen, we know politicians evolve all the time, and they're thinking we all do. So I think people just want to hear the underlying how and why this position change came. If it's true that she no longer believes in mandatory gun buybacks, I think people would love to know about that. Because, as you said, when you tick back to the last time she was actively running herself for president in 2019, there are all kinds of interesting statements that don't line up with where we are told she is now. And you think about Bernie Sanders on the Sunday shows last week saying essentially she's saying what she has to get elected. And that's coming from someone within her own party. So it raises questions.
What did you think of the ABC moderators continuously fact-checking Trump, not doing that for Kamala? I don't remember a past debate where I've seen the moderators fact-checking like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they're feeling the pressure from colleagues in the business and critics out there who will say, you got to fact check this guy in real time. Fine. But then, right, it needs to happen on both sides of the conversation. I also felt the selection of questions when, you know, the vice president's argument is, I'm about the future. I'm not about relitigating the past. But so many of the questions they asked him were January 6th, the Affordable Care Act. When's the last time somebody introduced anything on the Hill to get rid of the Affordable Care Act? I mean, there were all of these very backward-looking things and conversations they wanted to take him to, but I feel like there's so many other pressing issues that are right now that we could be discussing, and it sets him up to, by the issue selection, look like he is constantly trying to relitigate the past.
True. You know, the abortion issue, obviously, it came up, and they disagreed on that, and Trump talked about the Virginia governor and all that. We had that issue on the ballot here in Missouri. There was a Supreme Court decision the other day that kept it on the ballot despite some questions about its constitutionality in Missouri. How much do you think that's going to be a driver to the polls this year?
Well, goodness, I think the left will point to most of the recent elections where it's been on some kind of ballot that it's been helpful for them in driving out their base, and that's why it is on so many state ballots. I mean, all across the country, we have numerous. We were just tracking this last night, how many of them are surviving these court challenges like you've just had in Missouri. You know, Democrats think it's a winner for them, and I do think for the vice president, it's one of her issues which she feels like she's got the best command of, and she's been out there on the trail for years talking about this. I mean, she's the first sitting vice president to go to an abortion clinic. So they clearly feel like it's a good motivator for them and their base. And, you know, that's why you're going to see it in so many states like Missouri.
Yeah. And it's a conundrum here because every statewide office holder in Missouri is a Republican. Josh Hawley is leading in all the polls to get reelected. But they believe that enough people are going to turn out on the abortion issue that that'll pass, which means people are going to vote for Josh Hawley and also for the abortion thing. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, it's possible, and you'll see that in other states like Florida and other places as well where it's on. Does it, if races are really tight, actually affect the office holders and the candidates themselves in some of these places? We'll have to see. And I also think that for a lot of people, it's often presented as a binary choice. You vote for this measure to make sure that people can have abortion access in our state, or there's no abortion access. And there's a lot more nuance to all of these different state measures. Yeah. But I think when people are presented with sort of the question, do you think abortion should be legal or not? The country is very 50-50 on just that top line question.
It's true. Shannon, I'm running out of time, but I'm guessing we haven't talked about the potential government shutdown. I'm guessing you'll be talking about that Sunday.
Yeah, we're trying to work to get the speaker on with us because he had to, you know, sort of put the brakes on this plan to have the government funding tied to the SAVE Act, which is basically if you're going to register to vote, you got to show proof of U.S. citizenship. Mm-hmm. We'll see where he gets in the next couple days with that.
Well, we'll be watching. Shannon Bream, thank you. All right.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Shannon Bream there, host of a Fox News Sunday. You can listen to it right here on the radio station at 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. All right. Coming up, we'll check in with our friend Griff Jenkins. I don't know where in the world he is. We'll find out in just a minute.
This is a radical left liberal. What they have done to our country by allowing these millions and millions of people to come into our country and look at what's happening to the towns in Springfield. They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Where are you, buddy?
Morning.
How are you?
I told Ethan
he should have played Who Let the Dogs Out there before we played that bite for you.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we've got to get into that. Eating pets coming up on the debate stage, like, just when I think I've seen everything, there's that. And we can address it, and I'm going to deal with it on my Saturday show that I anchor. But you asked what I'm doing. I actually took the day off because it's going to take the entire day to figure out how to watch the NFL game tonight. And I'm about to go off on my tangent. But I don't know what happened to the NFL, but now I've got to watch it on Amazon Prime. I'm not sure if I have to get a box shipped in a truck to my house to watch it, but I just want to watch NFL. The other night, I had to download Paramount to watch it streaming there. What happened to just watching the NFL on the TV? You turn the TV on, it's on one of three channels, and I can watch it, and I can follow my family. Now I have to download apps, buy $8.99 a month subscriptions. I'm literally going to spend the day figuring out how I'll watch one football game tonight because I have fantasy players on both Miami and Buffalo.
Oh, so that's driving your interest. We were debating that earlier. We had our sports guy in from down the hall, and he was talking about the fact that we're going to vote on legalizing online gambling here this year. We've had casinos for years, but they've never allowed online gaming, like online betting. And he said that it's being driven by that. Like, it's such a moneymaker that's what's driving a lot of this interest in the football, the NFL this year, because so many people have fantasy players that they want to keep track of.
I would believe it. I don't know what's driving it. I mean, my goodness. But if you were going to bet and place an online bet on whether or not the subject of eating pets in Ohio would be on the debate stage, I wouldn't have had the over under on that.
So, Griff, just tell me what, you know, here I've gone back and I found audio that's heart wrenching from Springfield residents addressing their city council about how bad things are in a town of 60,000 with 20,000 Haitian immigrants, you know, killing birds and geese and in parks and making stew right there like they would if they were at home, picking up roadkill and gutting it on the side of the road. I mean, it's gross to listen to it. Whether it's somebody's pet or not is irrelevant. Why has the mainstream media descended on that town to show these living conditions that these residents are living in?
You know, so here's what I'm going to do on Saturday. I've got an interview with Dave Yost, your Attorney General of Ohio, because when I was in actually yesterday morning when Trump called into Fox and Friends the day after the debate, he actually mentioned the report, but then he didn't go into it. I had been reporting on Tuesday morning about the situation in Springfield, specifically as it relates to why there are so many Haitians there. And the Biden-Harris administration, since the CHNV program that you and I have talked about, the Cuban, Haitians, Nicaraguan, Venezuelan legal pathway, where they're flying these people into the country, we're seeing migrant crimes happening. There have been more than 205,000 Haitians specifically brought to the U.S. And obviously, a large number have ended up in Springfield, a town of 58,000, that now, by the mayor's account, has more than 20,000 Haitians. And what Dave Yost, your Ohio Attorney General, wants to sue the government on is exactly how far does the mainstream, the federal power go across the country to empower the ability to bring people in, because Springfield is, by all accounts, a blue collar town. You know, people there live paycheck to paycheck, and having this kind of problem and drain on services is what those residents are so pissed off, rightfully, about. And I want to go a little further now on Saturday with the Attorney General about exactly how do states and towns sue to push back on this, because clearly that is a strain. Set the animal thing aside, the actual strain in the overall community is going to break them. In places like Springfield, which already are you know, making ends meet, are not going to survive this.
I just can't get over the ABC moderators fact-checking on that and saying, oh, well, the city manager says that's not true.
That
there's no
happened,
evidence
blah, blah, blah.
Of it. And but even the police department I saw was quoted in articles. This was a number of days ago, but saying there are no credible reports of, you know, Haitian immigrants eating cats. I don't know. How can we possibly sit here and believe the city manager of what you're saying, Mark, is a very liberal city?
Yeah, it is. It's close to Yellow Springs. Which is where I think it's Antioch College. I'm trying to think that's the name of the college that's there. Back in the late 80s or early 90s, they had to, that was one of the schools, one of the first woke schools in America, Griff, where a guy had to sign a piece of paper agreeing that before he went on a date with a girl from the school, he would ask her permission to hold her hand or to kiss her or all that. Because, I mean, it was really one of the cutting edge of wokeness right there on the edge of Springfield.
Wow. Well, listen, I think to be a little critical here of Trump, I do think, Kim, that in that moment, the you know, eating of pets thing, which obviously has been debunked, if you will, by the city manager, I think Trump missed the opportunity to hold her accountable and say, look, whatever's happening with, you know, rumors of pets being eaten and all this, you brought those migrants here. You brought them here through a program that you created.
Yeah.
This was your idea. You started it. You brought them here. And whatever's happening, whether it's eating of pets or just draining of city services or any other problem, that's on you. What do you have to say about
it? I agree.
He went hard after the pet eating thing, which, you know, David Muir was amply armed to shoot down.
Right. No, I agree. There were a lot of missed opportunities. I felt like Kamala did better than I expected. And I've said it. I think it was a tie. I don't think there was a clear winner from that debate.
No, I mean, listen, I'll give you a snapshot of how I kind of sort of see things. My older brother still lives in Memphis, Tennessee, where I grew up. And he is the CEO of a, you know, local company and does pretty good. And he is sort of like a typical independent voter. He voted for Biden. I mean, Obama the first time. He voted for Trump the first time. He voted for Biden the first time. I mean, he's kind of he makes his decision the day before you walk into the ballot box. And that's kind of what the typical independent voter does.
That stresses me out.
And he you know, and talking kind of like, so how did you see it? He's like, I don't know. It was, I didn't get anything out of it. Like, she didn't, she just kept telling me we're going forward without telling me how we're going forward. And he just got angry and kept dealing with the past, which the moderators, he felt, were just focusing on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that the old cliche, the American people were the loser last night, might ring true here.
Well, I tell you what, Griff, we appreciate you joining us on your day off. We'll let you get back to your soul cycling.
Thank you. I am going to do a little soul cycle here in the next hour, but I will report dutifully back if I figure out how to watch the NFL game.
Good luck to you.
I'm turning into a caricature of you know, the old guy that can't figure things out. But I am going to figure out how to watch this if I have a Amazon truck deliver it to my front door.
No kidding. All right. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, it's funny you mentioned that about his brother, because there are some polls out. New York Times and a couple of others, flash polls after the debate, where they show that tracking thing. You've seen it before, where they show people's in real-time reaction as Trump speaking or Kamala speaking. And the independent line was tracking with the Republican voters and not with the Democrat voters. So we'll see what the final result is here and whether or not it's the independents you need to sway, the ones that haven't committed yet, like
this is a radical left liberal. What they have done to our country by allowing these millions and millions of people to come into our country, and look at what's happening to the towns in Springfield. They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Yeah. In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Where are you, buddy? How are you?
I told Ethan
he should have played Who Let the Dogs Out there before we played that bite for you.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we've got to get into that. Eating pets coming up on the debate stage, like, just when I think I've seen everything, there's that. And we can address it, and I'm going to deal with it on my Saturday show that I anchor. But you asked what I'm doing. I actually took the day off because it's going to take the entire day to figure out how to watch the NFL game tonight. And I'm about to go off on my tangent. But I don't know what happened to the NFL, but now I've got to watch it on Amazon Prime. I'm not sure if I have to get a box shipped in a truck to my house to watch it, but I just want to watch NFL. The other night, I had to download Paramount to watch it streaming there. What happened to just watching the NFL on the TV? You turn the TV on, it's on one of three channels,
yeah,
and I can watch it, and I can follow my thing. Now I have to download apps, buy $8.99 a month subscriptions. I'm literally going to spend the day figuring out how I'll watch one football game tonight, because I have fantasy players on both Miami and Buffalo.
Oh, so that's driving your interest. We were debating that earlier. We had our sports guy in from down the hall, and he was talking about the fact that we're going to vote on legalizing online gambling here this year. We've had casinos for years, but they've never allowed online gaming, like online betting. And he said that it's being driven by that. Like, it's such a moneymaker that's what's driving a lot of this interest in the football, the NFL this year, because so many people have fantasy players that they want to keep track of.
I would believe it. I don't know what's driving it. I mean, my goodness. But if you were going to bet and place an online bet on whether or not the subject of eating pets in Ohio would be on the debate stage, I wouldn't have had the over under on that.
So,
Griff,
just tell me what, you know, here I've gone back and I found audio that's heart wrenching from Springfield residents addressing their city council about how bad things are in a town of 60,000 with 20,000 Haitian immigrants, you know, killing birds and geese and in parks and making stew right there like they would if they were at home, picking up roadkill and gutting it on the side of the road. I mean, it's gross to listen to it. Whether it's somebody's pet or not is irrelevant. Why has the mainstream media descended on that town to show these living conditions that these residents are living in?
You know, so here's what I'm going to do on Saturday. I've got an interview with Dave Yost, your Attorney General of Ohio, because when I was and actually yesterday morning when Trump called into Fox and Friends the day after the debate, he actually mentioned the report, but then he didn't go into it. I had been reporting on Tuesday morning about the situation in Springfield, specifically as it relates to why there are so many Haitians there. And the Biden-Harris administration, since the CHNV program that you and I have talked about, the Cuban, Haitians, Nicaraguan, Venezuelan legal pathway, where they're flying these people into the country, and we're seeing migrant crimes happening. There have been more than 205,000 Haitians specifically brought to the U.S. And obviously, a large number have ended up in Springfield, a town of 58,000, that now, by the mayor's account, has more than 20,000 Haitians. And what Dave Yost, your Ohio Attorney General, wants to sue the government on is exactly how far does the mainstream, the federal power go across the country to empower the ability to bring people in? Because Springfield is, by all accounts, a blue-collar town. You know, people there live paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. And having this kind of problem and drain on services is what those residents are so pissed off, rightfully, about. And I want to go a little further now on Saturday with the Attorney General about exactly how do states and towns sue to push back on this, because clearly that is a strain. Set the animal thing aside, the actual strain in the overall community is going to break them. In places like Springfield, which already are you know, making ends meet, are not going to survive this.
I just can't get over the ABC moderators fact checking on that and saying, "Oh, well, the city manager says that's not true.
That
there's no
happened.
Evidence
blah,
of it."
Blah, blah.
And but even the police department I saw was quoted in articles. This was a number of days ago, but saying there are no credible reports of, you know, Haitian immigrants eating cats. I don't know. How can we possibly sit here and believe the city manager of what you're saying, Mark, is a very liberal city?
Yeah, it is. It's close to Yellow Springs. Which is where I think is it Antioch College? I'm trying to think that's the name of the college that's there. Back in the late 80s or early 90s, they had to, that was one of the schools, one of the first woke schools in America, Griff, where a guy had to sign a piece of paper agreeing that before he went on a date with a girl from the school, he would ask her permission to hold her hand or to kiss her or all that. Because, I mean, it was really one of the cutting edge of wokeness right there on the edge of Springfield.
Wow. Well, listen, you know, I think, to be a little critical here of Trump, I do think, Kim, that in that moment, the you know, eating of pets thing, which obviously has been debunked, if you will, by the city manager, I think Trump missed the opportunity to hold her accountable and say, look, whatever's happening with, you know, rumors of pets being eaten and all this, you brought those migrants here. You brought them here through a program that you created.
Yeah.
This was your idea. You started it. You brought them here. And whatever's happening, whether it's eating of pets or just draining of city services or any other problem, that's on you. What do you have to say about it?
I agree.
He went hard after the pet eating thing, which, you know, David Muir was amply armed to shoot down.
Right. No, I agree. There were a lot of missed opportunities. I felt like Kamala did better than I expected. And I've said it. I think it was a tie. I don't think there was a clear winner from that debate.
No, I mean, listen, I'll give you a snapshot of how I kind of sort of see things. My older brother still lives in Memphis, Tennessee, where I grew up. and he is the CEO of a, you know, local company, and does pretty good. And he is sort of like a typical independent voter. He voted for Biden. I mean, Obama the first time, he voted for Trump the first time, he voted for Biden the first time. I mean, he's kind of, he makes his decision the day before you walk into the ballot box. And that's kind of what the typical independent voter does.
That stresses me out.
And he, you know, in talking kind of like, so how did you see it? He's like, I don't know. I didn't get anything out of it. Like, she just kept telling me we're going forward without telling me how we're going forward. And he just got angry and kept dealing with the past, which the moderators, he felt, were just focusing on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that the old cliche, the American people were the loser last night, might ring true here.
Well, I tell you what, Griff, we appreciate you joining us on your day off. We'll let you get back to your soul cycling.
Thank you. I am going to do a little soul cycle here in the next hour, but I will report dutifully back if I figure out how to watch the NFL game.
Good luck to you.
I'm turning into a caricature of you know, the old guy that can't figure things out. But I am going to figure out how to watch this if I have an Amazon truck deliver it to my front door.
No kidding. All right. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, it's funny you mentioned that about his brother, because there are some polls out. New York Times and a couple of others, flash polls after the debate, where they show that tracking thing. You've seen it before, where they show people's in real-time reaction as Trump's speaking or Kamala's speaking. And the independent line was tracking with the Republican voters, mm-hmm. and not with the Democrat voters. So we'll see what the final result is here, and whether or not it's the independents you need to sway, the ones that haven't committed yet, like Griff's brother there. We'll see what happens. All right. Quick break. We're back right after this.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right. So I have to tell you, Kim, earlier on in other news, if you missed that this morning at 6:48, Kim played the Jon Bon Jovi song Living on a Prayer, because he saved some woman's life on a footbridge this weekend. I don't know when it happened. I assume the other
day. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of cool. But really, actually, I'm sure that's the story they're spinning. And Bon Jovi was in the area, but it was actually somebody else that pulled the woman off the bridge. And then I saw the video. And there's security video on this footbridge. It's closed to traffic, but people can ride bikes and stuff across it there. It's in Nashville, right?
Yep.
And sure enough, you see he's filming a music video. There's a woman who had crawled over the railing to end her life, I guess. I don't know what was down below or how far it was. And he and an assistant walked over, started talking to her. You can imagine what the conversation was. She looked fairly young in the security video, so I don't even know if she had any idea who the hell Jon Bon Jovi was. But they talked to her, not for very long, for like 40 seconds, and then they both grabbed her on each side and helped her come back over the rail, and they were hugging and loving on her, and it's a good story. I mean, I really thought it was blown out of proportion, but it's not.
No, I think it's pretty incredible. I'm also really confused why he was shooting a music video on a bridge like that, and it wasn't shut down to the public. Am I the only one who's hung up on that?
Yeah.
If they needed
people
in the
bicycling and everything.
But if they needed people to be in the background doing that, why wouldn't they have crew members who, you know, walked in the background and make it look like there were more people there?
I don't know.
If somebody that big like Jon Bon Jovi is doing that, I would think they'd shut it down.
What were the lines you were getting from your friends this morning, Ethan, that were texting you about the Jon Bon Jovi thing?
Yeah, that was people were saying, you know, she's living on a prayer and she was on bad medicine.
Yeah. That's
she's a runaway.
She's
keep going.
A little runaway. Yeah. But anyway, some good news there for a change on the bridge outside of Nashville. You said you're not familiar with that bridge. You worked down there.
No. I can't remember the name of it, but it's over the Cumberland right there downtown.
They're pretty high then, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah, high enough to have done some damage had she actually decided to jump. Well, good. So good for you, Jon Bon Jovi. Now do something smart like endorse Trump instead of being like Taylor Swift.
If you are basing your opinion on who to vote for because your favorite pop artist is choosing her, then you probably shouldn't be voting.
I love what Lauder said. Sad. Let me get this straight. So the woman who's made her career out of singing songs about her bad decisions wants you to support her in this one. It's basically all of her songs are about somebody she's broken up with, right? Or who's hurt her. So she's made a lot of bad decisions, and she's made a fortune singing about it. So maybe she'll make one about Kamala Harris when Trump beats her in November.
Man.
That's next. All right. Kilmeade's up next. I'm sure he'll be covering the latest on whether or not there's going to be another debate. So stay tuned for that. Of course, Annie Fry along here at noon. Mark Reardon, 3 to 6. Have a great Thursday afternoon. I'm headed down to the ballpark. I'll give you a full report tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Get more at 971talk.com.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, so I have to tell you, Kim, earlier on in other news, if you missed that this morning at 6:48, Kim played the John Bon Jovi song "Living on a Prayer" because he saved some woman's life on a footbridge this weekend. I don't know when it happened. I assume the other
day. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of cool. But really, actually, I'm sure that's the story they're spinning. And Bon Jovi was in the area, but it was actually somebody else that pulled the woman off the bridge. And then I saw the video. And there's security video on this footbridge. It's closed to traffic, but people can ride bikes and stuff across it there. It's in Nashville, right?
Yep.
And sure enough, you see he's filming a music video. There's a woman who had crawled over the railing to end her life, I guess. I don't know what was down below or how far it was. And he and an assistant walked over, started talking to her. You can imagine what the conversation was. She looked fairly young in the security video, so I don't even know if she had any idea who the hell John Bon Jovi was. But they talked to her, not for very long, for like 40 seconds, and then they both grabbed her on each side and helped her come back over the rail, and they were hugging and loving on her, and it's a good story. I mean, I really thought it was blown out of proportion, but it's not.
No, I think it's pretty incredible. I'm also really confused why he was shooting a music video on a bridge like that, and it wasn't shut down to the public.
Am
I the only one who's hung up on that?
Yeah.
If they needed
people
in the background.
Bicycling and everything.
But if they needed people to be in the background doing that, why wouldn't they have crew members who, you know, walked in the background and make it look like there are more people there?
I don't know.
If somebody that big like John Bon Jovi is doing that, I would think they'd shut it down.
What were the lines you were getting from your friends this morning, Ethan, that were texting you about the John Bon Jovi thing?
Yeah,
that was
people were saying, you know, she's living on a prayer and she was on bad medicine.
Yeah. That's
she's a runaway. They just
she's
keep going.
She's a little runaway. Yeah. But anyway, some good news there for a change on the bridge outside of Nashville. You said you're not familiar with that bridge you worked down there.
No. I can't remember the name of it, but it's over the Cumberland right there downtown.
Hmm. So pretty high then, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah, high enough to have done some damage had she actually decided to jump. Well, good. So good for you, John Bon Jovi. Now do something smart like endorse Trump instead of being like Taylor Swift.
If you are basing your opinion on who to vote for because your favorite pop artist is choosing her, then you probably shouldn't be voting.
I love like, what Lauder said. Sad. Let me get this straight. So the woman who's made her career out of singing songs about her bad decisions wants you to support her in this one. It's basically all of her songs are about somebody she's broken up with, right? Or who's hurt her. So she's made a lot of bad decisions, and she's made a fortune singing about it. So maybe she'll make one about Kamala Harris when Trump beats her in November.
Man.
That's next. All right. Kilmeade's up next. I'm sure he'll be covering the latest on whether or not there's going to be another debate. So stay tuned for that. Of course, Annie Fry along here at noon. Mark Reardon, 3 to 6. Have a great Thursday afternoon. I'm headed down to the ballpark. I'll give you a full report tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Get more at 971talk.com.